Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast special off-season edition. We haven't been with you since the Super Bowl, and we're popping in here during the off-season for a quarantined edition. Hopefully, everyone out there is staying safe and staying in. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, and I am joined, as I was each and every week last week, by my co-host, Gary Gramling, Mitch Goldich. Gary, Mitch, how are you guys doing? Hope you're all safe out there. Gary, how's it going?
Yeah, doing all right, Jimmy. Settling in here to quarantine time, and we got through the draft here on the NFL side, and now we got to do some win totals or something.
Everyone dying for that gambling fix. I'm sure you are. Mitch, have you bet anything in the last 6 weeks here since we've been quarantined?
I have to tell you, the world has been so crazy, I don't even remember what my Super Bowl prop bets were. I know I was sitting there in the stadium, and I know I lost all of them, but I don't even remember what they were. So thankfully, we're buried far back enough in the feed that hopefully none of our listeners remember either.
Yeah.
I have not. It's been a while since I placed a bet. Did a little online poker tournament with some family and friends. Play, you know, a free tournament, quote unquote, and then you can settle up on the side on Venmo. So that's the only gambling I've done since quarantine.
Gary, did you have any NFL draft wagers?
No, I never do the draft wagers just because, one, I'm kind of a wuss, but two, there's too much going on for us for actual like work stuff to actually like have the time to sit down and make some thoughtful bets. And honestly, it's so unenjoyable anyway, just constantly editing stuff that weekend that there's no happiness to be derived out of it.
The draft is quite a beast. So we're here to do a little over under win totals here for the NFL season. Obviously, I would say take everything we say with a grain of salt, since there's going to be a lot of roster changes between now and the start of a season, if there is a season, whether it's in September, October, or who knows. And I would also caution people, you know, be careful about how much money you lay out there with these, because if the season ends up getting canceled in November when there's a second wave of corona, you know, make sure you're with a reputable site where you can get your money back, because you don't want that going down the toilet. So, but we're just here to look at the early numbers. Obviously, the Brady Gronk leaving New England to Tampa Bay, I mean, you could probably do a whole podcast on that and all the betting sort of ramifications from that. But we'll go through each division. We'll go through the over-unders, give you a little football here in April, and give you an early synopsis of what we're thinking about totals. I'm sure all three of us will change our mind on maybe one or two picks between now and the start of the season. But let's do a little check-in of where we stand now with all of these. So we'll go division by division. We'll start at AFC East. I'll run down the four teams here and the numbers, and then we'll go to the fellas and get their take. So we got the we'll start with the Patriots. Patriot total now without Brady and Gronk is at 9. The over is minus 120. So you got Patriots at 9, Bills 8.5. The under there is plus 135. Stephon Diggs now there in Buffalo. Jets 6.5. And the Dolphins with Tua, although Ryan Fitzpatrick's still there, total there is 6. So let's start with Gary. Is there an over-under in the AFC East here that you have your eye on for a big potential wager?
Yeah, I'll go with a big one here. I'll go New England, and I'll take the under 9 wins at a plus 100 here. I think, obviously there's the Brady factor. Jarrett Stidham, no matter how optimistic you are about him, that is going to be a downgrade in 2019. Maybe Jarrett Stidham will be a Hall of Famer one day, but I don't think he takes off in 2020 here. Did I just misspeak and say 2019 when I meant 2020? Sorry about that.
The days all run together. And
it's okay.
So do
Jimmy
the years.
Said it.
They really
Jimmy said
do.
April, and it's what? May 1st. It's fine.
Oh, this is coming out May 1st. We're taping April 30th. Yeah.
It's like the end of Twin Peaks when Dale Cooper says, yes. What year is this? Along with the Stidham factor and the fact that the offense is probably going to be a mess, I mean, their goal is to win these games like 17-14, but you look at what the defense did last year, and it's going to be a great defense, but 7 defensive touchdowns on top of that, 36 takeaways. I always say year to year, it is very difficult to be at the top of the takeaway rankings 2 years in a row. It's just, yes, there are, you know, if you have ball hawking guys, if you have a great pass rush, you can get a lot of takeaways. But there's also a fluke factor to takeaways. And to replicate 36 takeaways in a season, I just don't think it's very likely that happens. So if they sort of fall back to the middle of the pack in that and have a bad offense, I mean, this is a 7 or 8 win team at that point.
Gary, what do you got there in the AFC East?
Well, I'm Mitch. We're struggling here.
Yeah, we're off to a rousing start here.
I will say you got us confused because Gary said basically everything I was going to say, not just the takeaways, but also defensive touchdowns. I mean, we talked about this all year last year. The story was, at what point are the Patriots going to tail off? And then they just didn't. They kept winning games and they finished 12-4. I know they lost out on they lost that game to the Dolphins and it cost them the 2 seed in the first round bye. But we spent most of last year saying that they were not as good as their record indicated. And then I picked them to lose straight up that game in Tennessee, which I know a lot of people were shocked by. A lot of people weren't that surprised. I think plenty of people took the Titans to cover. But, you know, we thought they were going to trend down. Now you take away Tom Brady. They're in a year of transition, you'd think. And obviously they might have Cam Newton or Andy Dalton. I don't necessarily think they'll have either one of them. It seems like they really want Stidham. But you've got to expect some kind of a drop-off is going to come anyway. And then an additional drop-off at the quarterback position. So, you know, it's fun to look at some of these other ones because the division's totally up for grabs, which everyone's going to talk about. You know, I could look at the Jets over and the Dolphins over. Like, somebody's going to win a couple of extra games if the Patriots decline. But just not knowing who's going to win the division, I mean, probably Buffalo is, I don't know if they'll be favored. I mean, people are going to want to bet on the Patriots, so they'll be maybe the actual betting favorite, whereas I think a lot of people will pick Buffalo. But just looking at one that I like, I mean, the Patriots declining. We've been waiting years and years for this. You know, this is the year to do it. You know, let's make it happen. But really, I think it's the smartest of the 8 options here.
I really wanted to pick the Buffalo over 8.5, but the one -160 scared me off. So we're all going to be in agreement. My second choice there was the Patriot under 9. You don't go from Tom Brady to Jarrett Stidham and not feel it. Sorry. It's just, I think Gary gave you a great stat there with the defensive takeaways. To replicate that would be a miracle. But the stability that Brady brought, never hurt, plays every snap. You don't lose the best quarterback of all time. I don't care how old he is, and not feel it. And again, he got that team to where he did last year with hardly any weapons. Good luck with Jarrett Stidham doing that. I just don't see how the Patriots don't have a down season.
And Jimmy, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
You know, we should talk about schedule too. And this division, they play the NFC West, which is a great division, and the AFC West, which is also strong at the top. And some of those other teams, I don't know how much they're going to come along, but no gimmies in any of those 8 games. So, you know, you always look at the strength of schedule and which divisions might struggle on the whole. And that could be a division where a lot of those teams suffer and you see some low win totals. So, I like taking an under because all 4 of those teams are going to have pretty tough schedules. And the Patriots obviously playing the first place schedule too, which means their other games are going to be against, they're going to have Baltimore and they're going to have Houston. So they've got a tough one.
All right, let's see if we can mix it up in the AFC North now, where we all went Patriots in the AFC East. In the AFC North, you've got the Ravens total at 11.5, Steelers 9, Browns 8.5 after the disappointing season, and the Bengals with Joe Burrow 5.5. Mitch, what's your pick here?
Yeah, so there are a few things I like. I mean, the Ravens are interesting because 11.5 is a lot, and I know they were so good last year, 14-2. You expect them to be good. I don't think it's as much of a lock that they'll repeat the amazing season that they had last year as I thought the Chiefs were a lock to repeat last season, as I think they're a lock to repeat again this coming season. I just think looking at the two rosters, I know Lamar Jackson was incredible and their rushing attack was historic and they were great, but picking them to win 12 games, that's a lot. But I like the value on Cleveland over 8.5, especially because it's +115. So I like the payouts there. That's a team everyone loved, Cleveland. And they've just fallen out of favor so much because obviously they had a really disappointing season last year. but you've got to expect that they're going to bounce back. And even if they don't reach the expectations they had last year, you know, they can still get closer to that and be better than, were they 8-8 or were they 8-7-1 that season 2 years ago when Mayfield was a rookie and everyone got excited about it? So, you know, if you think that Freddie Kitchens was a big part of the problem and they replaced him with Kevin Stefanski, and if you look at this roster the way we've talked about them the last 2 years and think they can go 9-7 and you get plus 115 for taking over 8.5, I'm tempted by the Ravens, but I like that Browns over.
Gary?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that Browns over. Really, I think this is I think this is quietly the strongest division in the AFC. I think NFC West is the strongest in football. I think this is the AFC's strongest division here. I think the Bengals are going to be much improved. I think the Browns are going to be much improved. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh here as the second team in this division, and I think they are in a position to legitimately make a run at the Ravens for the division title. Over 9 here for the Steelers. Look, again, I'm going to contradict myself slightly because the Steelers did lead the league in takeaways last year, but I do think what they put together defensively is just utterly dominant with T.J. Watt up front, and T.J. Watt is a big strip sack guy. You got Minkah Fitzpatrick as a ball hawk on the back end. It's just a really, really good defense, and I mean, obviously, the big factor here is Roethlisberger is back, so you're not running out those two stiffs last year and having to resort to a bunch of wildcat stuff and basically looking like an offense out of like 1954 or something. But I like the Steelers bouncing back enough offensively and having that dominant defense to certainly make a run at 10-plus wins. And I wouldn't be surprised. I just remember last year when they hosted the Ravens. They played Baltimore Week 17, and it was a sort of a crap game. Lamar did not play in that game, but they hosted the Ravens early on, and, I mean, they gave Lamar fits. I think that was as bad as Lamar looked all year. And I think they steal a split with the Ravens, and then that division gets really interesting.
I like this because we just went from all of us agreeing in the AFC East. We have three different picks now in the AFC North. I like the Bengals over 5.5. I'm all in on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had, for me, in my opinion, the single greatest season a quarterback has ever had in college football. From what that guy never made a mistake, made every single throw. The Bengals now, they have weapons there. A.J. Green, I know there's a contract issue there, but he's still there. Joe Mixon in the backfield. T. Higgins, another draft pick from this year, will be a weapon. I think, you know, 5.5 is nice and low. You're not laying crazy juice. Over 5.5 is minus 110. I think Burrow, now listen, normally I would never go with a rookie right off the bat to come out with a strong season. I think Joe Burrow is going to have a strong season right from the get-go. I think he's special. I think this is a generational type player. I'm all in on him, and I like the Bengals there at over 5.5.
Jimmy, can I just throw in, I noticed Joe Burrow plus 20,000 for MVP, and I was just kind of like, that's
20,000. How do you not throw 20 bucks on there just for, you know?
Oh my goodness.
Jimmy, that's your, if John Mellencamp wins an Oscar.
I mean, that's plus 20,000. That guy's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Anything can happen. They've got weapons on offense.
I'm with you, Jeff. I think he's the best rookie quarterback to come into the league in the past. I don't know who the last. Probably Andrew Luck. But, I think he's absolutely positioned to have a big year. That offensive line was so much better in the second half of last year, and no one cared because they were just so bad in the first half.
All right, let's go to the AFC South now. Interesting division here. Pretty close division here with these teams. You've got the Titans at 8.5 for a win total. Colts is 8.5, but the over there is minus 160, so be careful. The Texans without DeAndre Hopkins, 7.5. He cost them maybe a game or game and a half there on that number. And the Jaguars, total rebuild there at just 5. Gary, AFC South, what's your over-under here that you like?
Yeah, I'm disappointed it's minus 160. I wish the Colts were 9.5 instead of 8.5 and given some better odds here. But I'll take the Colts. I think the Colts are winning this division. I think the Colts are a Super Bowl contender this year. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong last year. I'm going to talk about some opponent kicker luck a couple times on the show, at least twice. This will be the first time. But if you factor that in, they were on the plus side in point differential. You know, I like Jacoby Brissett a lot. I think I'm more comfortable with Phillip Rivers. I know everyone's going to point to the turnovers for Phillip Rivers, but a lot of that was a result of just being behind an offensive line with the Chargers that couldn't keep him upright at all, just couldn't keep any pressure off of him. That will not be a problem in Indianapolis here. I mean, you know, they were running out Zach Pascal and a bunch of XFL receivers in the second half of last season, and now they all of a sudden, you know, they get T.Y. Hilton back, they get Michael Pittman, who's going to be a great rookie, Paris Campbell as sort of a gadget guy in the second season. It's just, it's a really complete, really good team. I think DeForest Buckner is a defensive player of the year contender who they traded their first round pick for. And they're well coached. I just think the Colts are an 11 or 12 win team, and I think they're right up there with the Ravens and the Chiefs. And remember, they went to Kansas City on that Sunday night. I mean, it seems like a million years ago. I want to say October, they went to Kansas City on Sunday night. They dominated the Chiefs. I mean, that was as bad as the Chiefs looked all year. And the Colts just went in there and absolutely handed it to them. So absolutely love the Colts. I wish this was like a 9.5 over under. I honestly, if it was 10.5, I'd probably still bet the Colts.
Be careful though, because I saw that Adam Vinatieri was threatening to come back next year. So
you remember I talked about him all season. I wouldn't get off that one.
That could cost you a couple there. Mitch, what do you like in the AFC South?
I just want to say that was a great tease. I cannot wait to find out what other team Gary's going to bring up with regard to opponent kicker luck. That's how you
kicker
do it.
Luck.
And it's funny, you know, when we were in the middle of last season, I knew what you guys thought about every team, and I'm sure I knew exactly what kicker luck stat you were going to bring up. And now I it's like I've forgotten everything. The Men in Black flasher is out, and all of Gary's takes are new for me again, which is nice. This is interesting. I've been waiting all year to fade the Titans. I just think, obviously, they went on a great run, but I think the way everyone is talking about them, people are talking about them as if they went like 12-4 last year, and they went on a great playoff run. They deserve to be commended. They brought the band back. I think it's going to be hard for them to have as good of a year as they did last year. It reminds me a lot, actually, of the Jacksonville team from 2 years ago, where they went to the AFC title game, they almost won. There's the fumble recovery, Miles Jack running that got blown dead, and then everyone was like, oh my god, the Jaguars almost beat the Patriots, they almost went to the Super Bowl. And then that offseason, you've got Jalen Ramsey and GQ, and everyone's talking about the Jags as if they went like 13-3 because they were really good in the playoffs, but really they had that wild card game against the Bills. Anyway, I see a lot of similarities in how people are talking about the Titans, and sometimes if you win a big playoff game, people sort of remember them as being better than they really were. So then I was stunned that the line here is actually 8.5, which is less than they won last season when they went 9-7. I was expecting people were going to be much higher on the Titans. I'm still a little bit interested in that under 8.5, but I kind of like Houston over 7.5. And I know they're a fun punching bag, and a lot of that's Bill O'Brien in general and the DeAndre Hopkins trade in particular. But they still have Deshaun Watson, who is the best quarterback in this division, and he's just, you know, good enough to win a couple games by himself. He's in that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is in a tier all by himself, and Lamar Jackson had a great season, but then Deshaun Watson's right there in the AFC. And this is a team that they won 10 or 11 games the last 2 years. They had a down year before that, and then they went 9-7 3 years in a row, so 5 out of 6, they're there above 500. And even though they lost Hopkins, who's obviously a great player, you know, they still have plenty of good players, and it's a team that's a perennial playoff contender. You know, I was high on them last year, and I just think people are underestimating them a little bit, partly because of the punching bag factor. But I could easily see Houston going 8-8, 9-7, even if they don't win the division. I just think they're good enough that they'll still be there.
This is the hardest division for me to pick. I don't like any of these at all. The eight options here, the four overs, four unders, I don't love any of them. But I'm going to go with Mitch. If I had to pick, I'm being forced to pick, I would go over for the Texans simply based on Deshaun Watson and, J.J. Watt, full season now after the injury. The total is so low there at 7.5, and you got to think they can get to 8-8 just based on Deshaun Watson. I don't love it. I'm not going to sit here and say I have confidence in it, but it's the only one here that I think I can go with. Don't love the other ones at all. I don't know how you can really give a solid prediction on Tennessee, because who knows what Ryan Tannehill is after last year. Would anyone be shocked if he regressed? I don't think so. Colts, you know, Gary's high in them, but will Phillip Rivers have any sort of transition period there? You know, it is a new team, veteran quarterback coming in like that. How smooth is that transition? I don't know. I'm gonna go with the over on Houston just because I think the number is 7.5 and you can get to 8 and you can cash a ticket there. All right, let's wrap up the AFC with the AFC West. Super Bowl champion Chiefs come in at 11.5. The Broncos, 7.5. Chargers, 7.5. Raiders, now in Sin City, 7.5. I'll go first on this one because it's going to be short and sweet. Over 11.5 on the Chiefs, to me, is the easiest pick on the entire board of any team in the entire league. There will be no regression. Patrick Mahomes is only going to get better. The draft pick of the running back from LSU is only going to help an already unstoppable offense. I don't see how they don't win 13, 14 games. The only way they don't, obviously, is if Mahomes gets hurt. To me, over 11.5 minus 125, by far and away the easiest lock on this entire board. Mitch, your turn.
Jimmy, I love it too. I don't know that I would call it the biggest lock on the board, but I also love it. You said the only way they don't hit it is if Mahomes gets hurt. Mahomes did get hurt twice last year. Yeah. He still went 12-4.
Right.
He had the ankle issue and the knee. So I'm with you. I feel very comfortable betting Chiefs over. But here's the thing that I want to do. I haven't made up my mind about these other three teams yet. I know that people love the weapons that Denver got for Drew Locke, but I'm not totally sold on him. The Chargers are interesting. They have a good roster, and it's kind of a win-now roster, but we expect that it's going to be Tyrod starting the season, and then don't know if we're going to see Herbert. The Raiders are in there. It's interesting. I just haven't made up my mind. I don't know who's going to come in second. I kind of, and you might both laugh at me, I kind of like the idea of betting under 7.5 for the Broncos, under 7.5 for the Chargers, and under 7.5 for the Raiders. And I think I can cash two of those three tickets because I think the Chiefs are going to run away with the division. I think one of those teams is going to emerge and have a good season above 500. It's a little hard for me to imagine that this division is going to have three teams above 500. So I kind of like betting all three of those and trying to win two of them. Is that crazy? I'm probably
crazy.
No,
I don't think it is. Yeah,
that's fair.
I agree.
I think it's fair. You're a smart
okay,
boy.
That was all I needed to hear. All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk next week.
Gary, what do you got?
I'm going to go under on Denver here. I say this with a little bit of hesitancy, but I don't like the quarterback. Drew Locke was really conservative last year. His numbers were kind of skewed by that one game in Houston where they just totally torched the Texans, but that was it. And the rest of the year, he was a very conservative passer. I don't think this defense is stand on his head good and sort of carry you anymore. And I know I love the weapons they brought in. Love Jerry Jeudy, love Cortland Sutton, love KJ Hamler. It's a lot of new faces, and it's a new offensive coordinator there. Pat Shurmur comes in as basically, you know, the de facto offensive head coach here. Just a lot of changes for a young quarterback who I don't think was very impressive last year. I think they are last place in this division. I think the Chargers end up being pretty good. I think Vegas is I don't know, it's like an 8-win team, but I think the Broncos might be looking at a 10-loss season here.
Interesting. No love for Drew Luck, huh?
No. And look, I could be wrong. I mean, the guy's talented. Just the way he played last year, so conservative, so frustratingly conservative, except for that one Houston game.
Yeah, that was, boy. You just gave me such PTSD. The money I lost on that game is just off the charts. Oh, my God. That's right. They went into Houston and just annihilated them. Yeah, it's interesting that the three teams in this division are all 7.5. But the Chiefs, I just, my God, 11.5 seems so low to me. All right, let's go to the NFC now and see what's going on there. The always very competitive NFC East. We've got the Eagles at 9.5, Cowboys at 9.5, Giants at 6, and the Redskins at 5. Gary.
Yeah, this one's really tough to do too, because obviously there's such a, you know, you got the Eagles and Cowboys on one tier, and then you got the Giants and Washington on another here. So looking at this, I will take the Eagles. I think the Eagles win this division again. You get more juice here on their 9.5 than Dallas's. Philly is -105. Dallas is -150 for the overs there. I do think the Eagles are absolutely the offense is complete again. I mean, I love how they. You know, they had their one speed guy go down last year, so they decided to just go out and get like five speed guys. They just have like a track and field team, and if nothing else, even if you can't catch the ball, if you just run down the field really fast, I mean the defense has to respect that in some way, and that really does change what this offense can do. So I love the two moves they made in free agency, Javon Hargrave, and then trading for Darius Slay. I think that makes it an elite defense, and I think Carson Wentz is an MVP candidate this year. So I do think they get to 11 or 12 wins, and I think Cowboys are really good too, but obviously so much more juice with the Eagles here.
Mitch?
Wow. So, Gary, we feel very similarly, and I did the exact opposite of you, where the Eagles and Cowboys are both at 9.5, and you took Eagles over because of the juice, and I'm going to take Cowboys under because of the juice, because I think one of those teams is going to get to 10 wins, but not both of them, and so the Eagles under 9.5 is at -115, and the Cowboys under 9.5 is at +125. So if you're deciding between those two, I like the value there. For all the same reasons you have, you know, I like the Eagles, and we can say I'm biased here. We talk about this during the season that I am an Eagles fan here. But, you know, I think if you're trying to pick between those two teams who are both competitive and one has, you know, a better payouts and better juice than the other, I kind of like Dallas under 9.5. I could see either of these teams being 9-7, 10-6, right in that range, and I just think for the odds you're getting, I like the Dallas under. But I'd rather go Dallas under than Philly over, because it just feels like there are more ways that can work out right for me.
I think this is a really tough division, like you guys said. I had a hard time picking one, but I'm going to go over with the Eagles as well. I think I'm the only person in America who didn't mind the Jalen Hurts pick. If they can turn him into Taysom Hill, it gives Carson Wentz another weapon. I think you're playing with fire going with an over on the Eagles because Carson Wentz is always hurt. But I do think they're the best team in that division, top to bottom. The Cowboys with the Dak Prescott situation is ridiculous. The guy's not worth $40 million. Who knows what kind of dispute that's going to happen there. I know they added a lot of offensive weapons. I just think the Eagles are a better team. I like Doug Peterson a lot, and his creativity on offense. I think if they could use Jalen Hurts as a weapon there, it really does give them another dimension. I don't hate the pick like everyone else. So see what happens. But that's my pick in that division. Mitch, what are you the Hurts pick? What did that bother you a lot?
I'm coming around on it. I definitely am all in favor of the idea of having him on the roster. And I don't think people are upset about the Eagles having Hurts. You know, of course, we've all seen Carson Wentz has been injured a few years in a row, and you need to have a good young QB in the pipeline. And if he can be a weapon and come on the field a little bit, he can do all kinds of things. The issues that people had was just taking him in the second round
right.
They had other needs. And I think the complaints about that were all about value.
Right.
And also being upset that the Cowboys got CeeDee Lamb, who's the receiver Eagles fans wanted and thought he might slip to them during the draft. But we also, I mean, we have to talk about Darius Slay, too, has to get mentioned. We talked all last year about just torching the Eagles' corners last year. And I remember one of you guys were betting the over in the Eagles game like every week because they were just getting torched. And so, you know, they lose Malcolm Jenkins in the secondary, which hurts. But Darius Slay could be a huge player for them this year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's looking at Darius Slay and being like, oh, look at his PFF grade, it was no good. When he played in Detroit had the opposite of pass rushers. I think their pass rushers were like turning around and like running backwards on every play. Darius Slay had to cover number one receivers for like 5 seconds on every play. That won't be the case in Philadelphia. Even if you think Fletcher Cox is falling off or Brandon Graham or any of those sort of older guys, Javon Hargrave's going to be a force for them. Played out of position in Pittsburgh, going to play his proper position in Philadelphia. They're going to be really good defensively.
All right, let's go to the NFC North now. Packers total is 9. Vikings 8.5, Bears 8, Lions 6.5. Mitch.
I'll be quick here. I like the Packers over. They won 13 games last year. We talked about them during the regular season where it was kind of like, how are they winning all these games? But they keep doing it. And I know you want to talk about people going nuts about a quarterback draft pick. Here's the, you know, the Eagles are the example B in this category and Green Bay is example A. But, you know, even though they may have wasted a first round pick on a guy who's not going to help them in 2020, they still bring back a good roster. They still have Aaron Rodgers and, you know, 9-7 almost looks like a floor for them, and then you still got to push. Like, I just think they're going to be in the mix. They're the favorite in the division. I just, 9 is way too low. I'm surprised this line isn't 9.5. If the Eagles and Cowboys are and Seahawks are at 9.5, you'd think the Packers would be right in the mix there, too. So I'm happy to go Packers over 9. I'd love to talk about Bears under 8, which I definitely considered, but if I've got to pick one, I think this one might be the most obvious division.
I'll go next since I disagree with Mitch. The pick here for me is the under Green Bay 9. I think they have the worst 13 win season of any team I've ever seen. I didn't think they were good at all last year. How they got to 13 was a miracle. And I think, and I said this on the, here we go with the plug, this week's SI Media podcast with Chris Long, the most fascinating NFL story to me of this season, if we get one, will be the Aaron Rodgers Packers relationship. There was a wild story this week that said the Packers are tired of his passive aggressive BS. I think that's going to be a factor all year. They clearly want to be a run team. I think the division is a, you know, I think the Vikings are a very good team. I think the Bears will be a little bit better. So, and they're playing, let's see, the NFC South, which is extremely tough. AFC South, not as much. I like the under here for the Packers. I think they're going to have a huge drop because that was a fake 13 win season, in my opinion. Gary.
No, it was a fake 13 win season, Jimmy. I will say 9 is a good number. I mean, that's a tough number to go over or under for me on. The Lions will win this division. I won't go with them here because they're minus 150 on that over 6.5. I'll just bet them to win the division and collect my riches. Ooh. There. But as far as the
over, clip that one off for Twitter. Producer Shelby, make sure you get it, make an audiogram.
Mitch, 2 years ago, I was saying the Lions were going to win the Super Bowl. So I'm tamping it down. Next year, it'll be the Lions will win 7
Gary,
games.
They lost. They lost Darius Slay.
Matthew Stafford is back. Matthew Stafford is Matthew Stafford had the best season you will ever see from a quarterback that just went completely unnoticed because his team just stunk around him. But this division, I'm going under on Minnesota, and I'm sure all summer we're going to talk about continuity and the importance of continuity and that sort of thing. I love Mike Zimmer as a coach. There is so much change over there. I mean, they lost 3 of their top 4 corners. Everson Griffin is gone. Linval Joseph is gone. So many new faces coming in there in Minnesota. And you know, it's been a run the ball and play defense kind of offense. And then obviously the play action stuff. Stephon Diggs is gone. I mean, he was their best big play threat. I just think there's so much change over with the Vikings. I think this is a 7-9 or 8-8 season coming for them. And under 8.5, you get that plus 125. So that one really stuck out to me here.
Yeah, that's a good one too. I like my Packers one a little better though. All right, another tough division here. Here we go. NFC South. Saints 10.5. Bucks. The new Bucks, 8.5, Atlanta, 7.5, and the Panthers without Cam Newton, big overhaul there, 5.5. Be interesting to see if we all have a Tampa Bay opinion here. We'll start with Gary.
No, I'm staying away from the Bucks. I do. Again, the continuity thing worries me there. The defense kind of worries me, too. I don't think they're as set as people think they are. But this is tough. If you think the Bucks are a Super Bowl contender, that affects the rest of the teams in this division. And it's really tough to pick someone out with these numbers here. I'll go over 7.5 for Atlanta at plus 100, and I don't know. It's like a sucker bet at this point. You keep on putting your faith in the Falcons, and they keep on letting you down. But I'll go over 7.5. They do, again, continuity, lots of guys coming back, same coaching staff. They did get right in the second half of last season, 6-2 run to finish the year. I don't want to overrate that too much, but I think there's too much talent there. I mean, Matt Ryan is still a really good quarterback. He's still got Julio. You got a really good offensive line. Todd Gurley comes in. I mean, he's not going to have to make a huge transition here to this offense. So I like it. I think they get to 9 or 10, but it's really tough to project the wins in this division with the Tampa Bay factor.
Mitch.
I agree 100%. This is easily the toughest division on the board. I mean, I feel like it's been that way for years where this division, just like something weird happens and there will be a team that just shoots up and wins the division one year and then plays down a level of competition the next. The Saints, I look at them and, you know, all the people who are like grading rosters, I feel like I see every day something on Twitter about how the Saints have just the most talented roster in the league, even though as good as the Chiefs are, people just love the Saints. I kind of, you know, I want to pick them to win more than 10.5, but I know that last year I picked them to regress, and obviously I was proven wrong. The Tampa Bay thing is tough. I'm tempted to stay away from this whole division. They play the NFC North and the AFC West, by the way. If I had to pick one, I agree with Gary, and I also circled Atlanta over 7.5. But I'm totally fine taking the coward's way out and saying that I'm just staying away from the NFC South all year, or at least going into the season. This one's tough, but if you make me pick, I'll agree with Gary and lean Falcons over.
I will eat up the Bucks over 8.5. Tom Brady, nice. Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, and others. Now, let's just say this from a betting standpoint. I can probably tell you if we get an NFL season, I'm pretty sure it's a safe bet to say that I will bet the over on all 16 Buck games, because that offense is going to score 40 points a game. It is going to be unstoppable. So I love the 8.5 here. Now, I don't want to say with 100% certainty that Gronk's going to come back and be Gronk, but I think people have sort of forgotten he is an unstoppable weapon. I mean, you look at the catch he made in that Rams Super Bowl his last game. This guy, when you mix him in with Mike Evans, oh my God, the possibilities for that offense are going to be tremendous.
Chris Godwin. I will say you've got to be a little bit worried about a Brady regression, and we've talked to death about Brady the last couple of years. But I will say, to your point, we remember from back when Gronk was playing in New England, we'd see the stats all the time about Brady's career numbers with Gronk on the field and without Gronk on the field. And so people who were concerned about how he looked last year, that can be huge if Gronk is back anywhere close to his level. Brady has always been so much better with Gronk on the field. But I think you've got to be a little bit worried about a Brady drop off. What is he, 42 years old, and just what we've seen from him?
I'm not worried about the Brady
40 points a game.
I'm not worried about the Brady drop off because he's become one of these weirdos where it's all about, you know, keeping in shape and the pliability, and then the, you know, proving the critics wrong. I'm not, you know, he tweeted something, Instagram storied something about someone calling him old, and that, I think all that motivation is going to carry him this year. I have one concern about going over 8.5. And it's not a big one because I think 8.5 is low. I think they get it easily. My only concern is 2 games against the Saints, 2 games against the Falcons. That's tough there. And they play the NFC North. You know, Packers on the road could be tough if they get something like that, Minnesota. And they play the AFC West, which is the Chiefs. So that's my only issue there. I see Brady having a big year. I really do. And 8.5 is a good number there. And the over's plus 100. All right, let's go to the last division here before we wrap things up. You've got the Niners coming off the Super Bowl loss at 10.5. Seahawks, 9.5. The over there is plus 130. If you go under, you're laying big juice, minus 155. Rams, off a very disappointing season, 8.5. And the Arizona Cardinals, the team total of 7. Cliff Kingsbury already has a nice house. What does he even need a Super Bowl for at this point? But hey, it could be a nice little bonus for him. What do we got in the NFC West, Mitch?
Kingsman. He had to know everyone was going to tie. He's acting like, oh, yeah, anyway.
That house is better than a Super Bowl, in my opinion.
The 49ers, so the Super Bowl hangover is such a cliche, but at the same time, we see it so often. It is just, it's totally a thing. And the 49ers, they've lost a few guys on defense. They've brought in some replacements, but, you know, we've talked about continuity. They still bring back plenty of their guys, but they're not going to be exactly the same team. I just think, you know, we talk about teams where last year we didn't know how they were doing it. There were kind of a few. The NFC was so weird where it was like every week the power rankings, you had like four or five teams and you wanted to put another team number one. I'm surprised the line's at 10.5. That feels high. Counting on them to win 11 games, 11's a lot in a tough division. And I like the under there, but my favorite bet in the division is I'm actually going to go to Arizona. I like the over 7 for them. The Cardinals are much more dangerous. They've got, obviously, they have DeAndre Hopkins, and they drafted Isaiah Simmons, who everyone raves about. And that just, even if they hadn't made a couple of great offseason moves like that, it's just kind of, you look at the pattern where a rookie comes in and plays well and then takes a leap in the second season. And I just think what we saw from Kingsbury and Kyler Murray together at the end of last season, I would love to see a big jump from Kyler. And that could easily be an 8-8 team, a 9-7 team, compete for a playoff spot. I'm excited about them, and I thought the total was a little low. It's a little tough to pick an over just because I think the division's so good that these teams are going to beat up on each other in some spots, but they play the NFC East, which has a couple of easy games. They play the AFC East, which has some winnable games, and I could easily see Arizona going over 7, so that's going to be my pick.
Gary.
I'm sorry. I'm going to kind of double up on two of these. It's insane to me that Seattle is 9.5 and the Rams are 8.5. The Rams are objectively better than the Seahawks, and there's I don't see how these numbers add up in any way. I'll start with the Seahawks real quick. Under, and I'm going to give you two because that under 9.5 is -155, and that's no fun, even though it is just an automatic win right there. Again, kicker luck. We'll start with that. This is a team that had plus 7-point differential last year, which is basically even. And if you factor in, again, opposing kicker luck, that is not, no one's stopping the opposing kicker from making kicks. And the way I factor it is I split it into shorter field goals, longer field, et cetera, et cetera. Just know it's the greatest stat ever. And Seattle was, they ended up third in the league. They basically gained 10 points, or opponents lost 10 points because of missed kicks. So they are basically a below average team there. And then you factor in, I mean, my God, 16 fumble recoveries for a team that has zero pass rush and really no ball hawking stars on the back end of the defense. That makes no sense. That is coming down. That number is coming way down. They should be bottom half of the league, if not like bottom 10, as far as that goes. And if they don't bring Jadeveon Clowney back, I mean, you're talking about like a bottom 5 defense here. So I know everyone loves Russell. Everyone loves Bobby Wagner. Everyone loves Pete Carroll for good reason. But I mean, this is a 7-9 team, and I think I might even be generous calling them a 7-9 team. The Rams, on the other hand, the Rams' single problem was, and this is Jared Goff's problem, bad offensive line play last year, but they got right late in the year. That offense was really good in December. 5 games, they averaged just under 30 points per game. Goff's numbers were back where you would have thought they would be for the kind of money that they're paying him, quite frankly. But they, put up 28 on Seattle. They put up 31 on the 49ers on the road. They put up 31 against Arizona. That's an offense that's going to get right. If you buy on Sean McVay, which you should, I mean, I think they're a 10-win team. And just tying those two teams together one more time, the Rams and the Seahawks, if Greg Zuerlein makes a 44-yard field goal in Seattle on a Thursday night last October, the Rams make the playoffs, the Seahawks do not, and then this whole narrative with those two teams is completely different.
I like Gary covered the Seahawks and Rams. Mitch covered the Cardinals. I'll go to the Niners. I love the over here. I've talked about this theory on this podcast before, I think, and this works in all sports. I was an old-time Knicks fan as a kid, Pat Riley, and when the Knicks were actually a real team and not what they are now. And Pat Riley had a book, and he always talked about this theory about the innocent climb and how a team has to fail first before conquering. You saw it with the Chiefs. They lost that AFC title game to the Patriots. Come back the next year, they win the Super Bowl. The Rams had a playoff clunker against the Falcons. They were in the Super Bowl the next year against the Patriots and lost that one. I think the innocent climb here is the Niners are the team on the innocent. They got to the Super Bowl, lost to the Chiefs, a better team. I think they rampage through the regular season now this year. That defense is more than legit. People are worried about Garoppolo. That was really his first full season. He's always been hurt, never played with the Patriots. I think that experience is going to help him a lot this season. I think 10.5 is not a big number. I don't particularly love the other teams in this division. I'm not as high in the Rams as Gary because I think I don't like what I've seen from Jared Goff. To me, it's been such a regression from that Super Bowl against the Patriots on. The Gurley thing was a mess. Now he's not there, so maybe they get that straightened out a little bit. But I don't see how the Niners don't win 11 or 12 games with that defense. Very creative head coach. I love that over. Not as much as I love the Chiefs over, but I think the Niners are going to have a big-time season and get back to that Super Bowl for the NFC. So that's my last pick. Do we want to recap our picks here before we wrap it up?
Yeah, we can do that. Everyone can line up in front of their app and get ready to place
their
bets.
I'll get it rolling. I went first with the under with the Patriots in the AFC East. I gave you the over 5.5 with the Bengals. Joe Burrow will have a big season. I give you the over 7.5 with the Texans. Don't love that one, though. AFC West was my easiest pick on the board. Chiefs over 11.5. Eagles over 9.5 in the NFC East. NFC North, I gave you the Packers under 9. NFC South, I took the Bucks over 8.5 with Brady and Gronk. And then wrapped it up, NFC West over 10.5 with the Niners. Mitch, what do you got?
All right, I had the Patriots under 9, Cleveland over 8.5, Houston over 7.5, the AFC West, I gave you my very special Chiefs over 11.5, and the in tandem Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders all under 7.5. It's been a while. Place as many tickets as you can. This is what we're here for. Over in the NFC, Cowboys under 9.5, Packers over 9, Falcons over 7.5, and the Cardinals over 7.
Gary?
All right, I got Patriots under 9, Steelers over 9, Colts over 8.5, Broncos under 7.5, Eagles over 9.5, Vikings under 8.5, Falcons over 7.5, Seattle under 9.5 / Rams over 8.5 there in the NFC West, and go place your tickets for the Lions winning the NFC North. There. Okay.
Do the Lions and Cardinals play this year again for you, Gary?
That's a good question. They must because they were both last place.
Gary's two favorite teams.
Another Gary Bowl.
All right. Well, that wraps up this off-season over/under edition of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Hang in there without much to wager on, all you degenerates out there. Just hang in there. You'll get something to bet on soon. And stay in, stay safe. We'll see you soon, some point, with another little off-season NFL gambling podcast to whet the appetite. Hopefully we get a season at some point. And that'll do it for this edition. So for Gary, Mitch, I'm Jimmy Traina, and we'll see you soon. Stay safe.